You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Want to give some love to our sponsors real quick before we start things off, because they make it happen for us and help out all of you. They're Wilson County Hyundai. Make Wilson County Hyundai a part of your new car buying process in Lebanon or at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. Farm Bureau Health Plans, better rates, better coverage, better service. Learn more about a plan for you at fbhb.com/ATOZ. The Bone and Joint Institute, the region's destination for comprehensive orthopedic and sports medicine care. Schedule an appointment at boneandjointtn.org. And Krebs Kubota, an elite Kubota dealer located in Columbia, Franklin, and Murfreesboro. You can visit them online at krebskubota.com. Zach, before we jump into Titans talk, I do have a question for you. March Madness and NCAA tournament related, because I argued with Austin about this pretty much throughout the entire week. When the bracket comes out on Sunday afternoon slash evening, that 5 o'clock tournament selection show goes down, how long after that does Zach Bingham wait until he fills out his bracket?
Midday Tuesday.
I think that one's fair. I think that, so my stance on the, I normally take all of Sunday and just stare at a blank bracket and just kind of think about all the possibilities. And usually Monday night I've completed it. I believe you should have your bracket filled out by the time the play-in games begin on Tuesday evening. Austin says he fills out his bracket like right now. Like he'll wait to do his bracket until an hour before the first game starts on Thursday morning. I think that's a little bit crazy.
Yeah, well, I get it. Mine's really not anymore about like, it's just about time. Like you got to make sure I probably etch out 30 to 45 minutes. Because I usually make three brackets. One pool that I'm in, you could submit two brackets, right? So I've got this is my tier one, and then I go my upset special as my number two.
Sometimes
you never know what will work. And then I usually do a third bracket that is kind of my saving grace. So 4, 5, 6 brackets, too many brackets. 3, I can handle. It's like fantasy football teams. You only need a few. You don't need 5 or 6. You need to kind of consolidate. And so that's my thinking on March Madness. But yeah, you got to etch out that time to do it. Do the research. You know, and I watch a lot of college basketball. But the problem is that don't mean a damn thing when it comes to March Madness, because I watched FAU pretty much all season, and they're probably going to get ousted in the second round of UConn, but maybe they win. I don't know, right? So that's the fun of it.
No, Zach, it is the worst because, yeah, I'm like you. I'm a college basketball fan. Like, I just enjoy the sport. So I don't hate sitting down. Like, I was talking to my brother recently saying that, dude, I've watched a ton of Mountain West basketball because they're on late at night, because I could just sit down and just toss on a Boise State, Colorado State game and enjoy myself. Well, that translated into me being like, hey, look out for Boise State. And I was pulling my hair out last night watching Boise State just refuse to put the ball in the cylinder yesterday.
Well, you know where you need to go watch Boise State or any of the other teams all season long.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be heading today, probably going to go get some lunch and watch some games in the mid-afternoon. I'm going to go to Prince's Hot Chicken over at the Tanger Outlets. Prince's Hot Chicken over at the Tanger Outlets is powering the A to Z Sports Bracket Challenge. So if you are somebody out there in our chat who has not yet submitted your bracket, who is doing the Austin thing and is like, oh, I haven't filled out my bracket yet, got to do it before the games start here. But we do have a live bracket challenge. The link is in the description of today's show. The overall winner will get a free big screen TV. Local winners will get gift cards to Prince's Tanger Outlet gift cards. The Tanger Outlets is crazy. I was just out there with Austin earlier this week. They've got over 50 plus retailers with local food and beverage options, like outdoor patio space that you can play cornhole and just hang out. It's a great vibe. They've got a ton of TVs to watch the games. It's Nashville's original hot chicken, bursting with heat and flavor, and there's nothing better than the original. They are running a March Madness deal as well. 10 winglets and a choice of heat fries and fountain drink for $17.50 over at the Tanger Outlets. 10 wings, choice of heat, fries, fountain drink, $17.50 for the NCAA tournament deal over there. Prince's Hot Chicken at the Tanger Outlets. Go check them out. And don't forget to submit your bracket to the A to Z Sports Bracket Pool.
Yeah, there you go. That Prince's Hot Chicken, that is where to go. That wing deal is pretty damn good, too, because they got fire wings.
Wings are the best thing on the planet, and I think a lot of people's complaint is, Al, wings are always so expensive, it's hard to get. You can go to Prince's Hot Chicken and get the wing deal and get yourself correct before the games start.
Yep, that's right. All right, we're going to set March Madness aside. At the end of the show, we got a unique, because it is March Madness, we will ask a couple of questions in the chat about your bracket. So get ready for that. But, you know, you brought this to my attention this morning in our pre-show call, Sam. A former Titan said something pretty interesting about Treylon Burks and maybe what he could do this season.
Yep. So this is with the Buck Rising show of 104.5. Former Titans wide receiver Nate Washington asked about DeAndre Hopkins and how the Calvin Ridley signing might affect D-Hop. He took it a little bit of a different direction. Let's talk to Nate Washington. Let's hear what he had to say.
All of that tied together and turning this corner into the next part of this question, I'm hoping that this is the year for Treylon Burks. I'm hoping that he benefits the most out of Calvin and Hop. I'm hoping that he plays relaxed. I'm hoping that he finds a way to stay on the field. He has to be healthy. If he's not healthy, nothing else matters. But I truly feel like this is his breakout season. I'm hoping for at least 600 to 800 yards from the kid. I hope that he shows us football matters. I truly feel like the microscope is on him tremendously, in my opinion, more than the other two, because of the trade value in which we gave up to get him. I think this is his best situation. Also, dealing under two veterans that have been through a tremendous career, both on and off the field. You know, even learning from Calvin's situation of what he dealt with a couple years ago with his suspension. I think this will be a huge learning situation for Treylon, and I'm hoping he benefits at the end of it. So
there's Nate Washington feeling a little bit bullish about Treylon Burks and what he can potentially learn from DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley and just the situation of having two veterans around him. You heard that quote, but here is the actual quote again. Nate Washington, this is the year for Treylon Burks. I'm hoping he benefits the most out of all the receivers. I'm hoping that he plays relaxed now that Ridley and Hopkins can take the defensive attention off him. I'm hoping that he finds a way to stay on the field. He has to be healthy. If he's not healthy, nothing else matters. And then he says 600 to 800 yards from Burks is the expectation. Big number, but Zach, I mean, does Treylon Burks have the most to gain from Calvin Ridley? Are you with Nate Washington here that this is the right recipe for Treylon Burks?
I think that's the glass half full way of thinking about it, right? You could sit here and justify anything, but it's kind of like, and I always talk about this, Sam, you'll go through it. Austin went through it last year. He went through it the year before. It's called training camp hope. You sit there and you see a guy in training camp and you're like, damn, this dude's going to break out. He's going to bust through the seams. Kyle Phillips, man, this is his year. The connection's going to be unbelievable. Oh, my gosh. Womp, womp. And you got to kind of temper your expectations. Now, to Nate Washington's credit, the singular word that I saw was hope, right? He hopes this happens, hopes that this is the case. I think the problem is, look, there is some unknowing because there's a new head coach, a new offensive mindset, a new offensive play caller, and, you know, a starting quarterback that he can sling it. He can throw the football, but there's new players around him, which you could sit there and say, maybe this helps Treylon Burks, but maybe it takes opportunity away from Treylon Burks. Maybe Treylon Burks is not on the field as much because you got to kind of look around and you sit there and you say, Well, Calvin Ridley, they're paying him a lot of money to be on the field. DeAndre Hopkins, they're paying a lot of money for him to be on the field. Tony Pollard, they're paying a lot of money for him to be on the field. Tajay Spears and Chig are two young players that have shown glimpses. Treylon Burks, you know, I wouldn't say glimpses in plural. I would say a glimpse in Green Bay that was like one play. That is the only play that I remember Treylon Burks
nice
on a Thursday night
in
Packerland.
Yeah, when he had that nice catch against the Bengals or Chargers this year, he had like the almost touchdown from Ryan Tannehill like early in the year, and everybody's like, oh, there it is. And then it just didn't come back. Yeah, I think the opportunity here is interesting because I think you actually said it great there. This is the glass half full approach, because what we've talked about on the show for the last couple of weeks here is the NFL draft and wide receivers in the NFL draft. And we've listened to Brian Callahan step up to the podium and say, hopefully we can get a couple guys out of this year's class that can come have an impact. And you don't know how the draft is going to play out yet, but I do think Treylon Burks is almost in a danger zone for me. And Calvin Ridley's signing put him in the danger zone. If he is this wide receiver three in this offense, then it could potentially be the opportunity.
Let's not say if. When Treylon Burks is receiver three.
I'm saying if as the upside, right? Because he's not over D-Hop and he's not over Calvin Ridley. So right now, he's the three. That could change in the NFL draft. I still think there is room for Treylon to slide down another peg on this totem pole here. And if that happens, now you're starting to look at really what you said, which is a guy who's not on the field all the time and is playing a very specific role in an offense that can be valuable, but is not going to be a guy that you're rushing to draft in your fantasy football league.
Well, here's two things. He has two more years left on his deal. He's a first-round pick. They're not going to pick up his fifth-year option unless something wild happens and he just busts on the scene. He's a 1,000-yard-plus wide receiver and catches 9 touchdowns. I'm going to wake up from the dream because that's not going to happen, right? I do think that the hard part is you can't trade for him because he has no trade value. If you draft somebody, which God, I hope they don't draft a wide receiver in the first round. That'd really irritate me and be stupid. But, you know, you're looking at Treylon Burks of like, what can he actually offer? And we talked about this earlier in the week. We touched on it very slightly, is like, you want him to be a Tyler Boyd, right? In the Cincinnati. Yep. Offense. And if he can be that, then now I think you're cooking with a little bit of heat because he's well respected. He's no T. Higgins and he's no Jamar Chase, but respectable. I mean, we take Tyler Boyd over Treylon Burks every single day of the week, wouldn't you? Right?
Yeah, I mean, they're very different receivers, but when you just look at Tyler Boyd's production, if you told Titans fans that Treylon Burks was going to have the production of Tyler Boyd over the last 3 years, I think everybody would give you two thumbs up at this point and say, sign me up for that.
And Tyler Boyd now has become, with the emergence of Higgins and Chase, that 600 to 800 yard wide receiver. Like, that's what exactly Nate Washington is saying. Look at the last line. I'm hoping, keyword hoping, for at least 600 to 800 yards from Burks. So what really Nate Washington is hoping for is Treylon Burks to do Spider-Man to Tyler Boyd in Brian Callahan's new offense for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the question, right, is a lot of issues, right? Injuries being one of them, two being the draft and availability, and just the idea of Treylon improving as a whole. He has a long way to go. So that brings us to our question. Again, Nate Washington wants 600 to 800 yards from Burks in what he calls to be a breakout season. So I ask all of you in the chat, buy or sell? Treylon Burks can get to 600 to 800 yards, that he can be in that window of wide receiver production in 2024. Buy or sell that idea. And Nate Washington says he's got to be healthy. So, Zach, tell everybody about Bone and Joint Institute, our friends over there, where Treylon Burks could go to stay healthy.
Yeah, got to be healthy. And one way that you get healthy is through the Bone and Joint Institute. State-of-the-art facility down there in Franklin. I visited there. Look, I've got my shoulder repaired with a torn labrum. Everybody has that aches and pains as you get older, or injuries as you play sports. Maybe you're playing rec basketball. Maybe you're going snow skiing. Maybe you're playing softball. Who knows? Or maybe it's just something's worn out. You know, up and down the stairs. You got a bad hip, old football injury from high school of cracking skulls at middle linebacker 1982. Who knows? I don't know. You got a cowboy collar. Cowboy collar doesn't work anymore. You need to go to the Bone and Joint Institute. Don't fumble on your recovery. And in all seriousness, the state-of-the-art facility, what it does is it houses state-of-the-art doctors and specialists. That's who you can trust at the Bone and Joint Institute down there in Franklin. We are trusted by them here at A to Z Sports. We trust them. They trust us. You can trust them too. That's the Bone and Joint Institute.
Today's show powered by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Guys, I'll be transparent. BetMGM has been getting the best of me to start the NCAA tournament here. First four did not go my way, but we ride at 11:15 a.m. and we take back the first round from BetMGM. I'm going to be all over BetMGM in the first round. I wish I had the bonus code ATOZ Sports for new users where I could get my first bet back risk-free up to $1,500. But if you haven't signed up, you can. So use that bonus code ATOZ Sports. If your first bet misses, up to $1,500 back into your account in the form of a bonus bet. It's the best way to do sports betting during all of March over at BetMGM and BetMGM.com. So, Zach, we asked the question, buy or sell? Can Treylon Burks reach 600 to 800 yards as Nate Washington hoped and predicted for 2024?
Yeah, and let me clarify, you know, the Tyler Boyd comparison was what Nate Washington was hoping for, what the Titans are hoping for. It's not anything that I think Treylon Burks is Tyler Boyd by any means. But let's go to the chat. I think Nate Washington helped the chat out a little bit by giving him a 200-yard range. What are we at, the driving range? Jeez, I mean, like, I wish it would have been singular, but a quote is a quote, a question is a question, buy or sell. Let's see here. Linwood is buying. Spivey's burner is buying. Memory Mix is buying. Jared's going to sell. Hard sell from Stephen King. David and MB are buying. Scott says yes if he stays healthy. That's a big if, as Nate Washington noted. Sell hard from Big Ten Jeff. Christian says sell. Jay says sell. Titan says sell. Here comes the sell. Sell. Willie's selling. Randy's selling. Alton is buying. Deborah is buying. Dude's a bust from Clayton. He's selling. Buy, big if, say stays healthy from Patrick. Buy from Nate's burner. Sell from Paul. I hate to, but I'm selling from Scott. It's 600 yards, you would hope. I'm buying from Michael. Deshaun Washington says buy. Billy says sell. Kendall brings up a very valuable point. Sell, because I've bought the last 2 years. Fool me once, fool me twice, don't fool me three times. I think George W. said that one time. Hashtag says buy. Wasn't he a slot receiver coming out of college? I think he played a multitude of positions at Arkansas. You saw him. And these were the two routes that they really had him run. Deep flies, right, where you could go up and get it. The problem is he's been concussed before on that fly route. And that actually, I think this bottom left screen of him catching over the Pittsburgh Steelers kind of sent him down that path. Concussions are nothing to mess with. He's got to get over that hump. There is a mental side of things, right, to playing football after a concussion.
I'll remind people his rookie year, too. It wasn't the same, like, go jump ball, but he caught, like, a nice contested catch on a, like, a deep post in the end zone against Philadelphia as a rookie and took that hit across the middle that concussed him as well. So, yeah, Treylon has been the victim of a few head traumas already in his career, something that you absolutely worry about when you start talking about a guy that you're trusting to make contested catches pretty consistently and put his body on the line. I agree. Yeah, there's a mental side of that thing. There's also just some physical limitations that can come. And you hope that he's over that this offseason, but that's a lot easier said than done.
Let's go to some super chats before you actually answer, because I'm curious to see what you're doing on this. Let's read Noah's first. This is a jackpot buck. Jack is out sick, so Noah, maybe you can, that $19.99 will send him some, I don't know what he's got, maybe some throat lozenges or whatever.
Yeah, he needs some Mucinex and some, like...
Throat lozenges? What is that?
I'm not sure at all. I don't know medicine.
Well, I've got them on hand. Cough drops. Call them cough drops.
What were you trying to call them? Cough drops was a fart. Lozenges.
There are lozenges. Like that's where I'm asking. I'm in a tango right now. How would you pronounce that?
Lozenges, I think.
Is that right?
So, I'm not sure. I know nothing about this. Let's call them cough drops. I like that.
Ashley's got it. Lozenges. Throat lozenges. So the $19.99, I'm going to stay away from that. Cough drops. Okay. Noah says a couple things. Yes, Traylon can get there. So people ask, only five T's. Man, and look, he comes in with $4.99. So he's pretty autocorrect. Butchered my last super chat. Good luck. Only five teams had 3 1K wide receivers in history. So let's go back to in deciphering this. Only five teams had 3 1K receivers in history. Not enough balls to go around. Also, Sam's looks like Sokka.
From the Netflix Avatar,
The Last Airbender.
No idea. Add it to the list, though. I get a lot of, you look like so-and-so all the time. But, yeah, I'm not sure. Are you Googling it right now, Zach?
Yes. Different hairstyle.
It's the hat, though. I guess he can't really tell with the hat.
A little bit. Maybe. I think you look maybe more like the actor than the actual character. So I'll give you that. And I've never watched the show. So, I think Noah brings up the only five teams had 3 1K wide receivers in history. So I don't think that we're looking. I think that's what Nate Washington is saying. They're not looking at 1,000. You're looking at more probably closer to 600. And then W. Callan says, Boyd has only missed 9 games in 8 years, and 6 were in 2017. Burks is half unlucky, half soft. Are we convinced he can be the slot guy getting hit? Valid point right there from Kalnan. So, Sam,
I do want to time out on the idea. Like, I know Austin takes issue with this. I tend to as well. Traylon Burks missing significant time with a popped meniscus and or a concussion is not a Traylon Burks soft issue. That is just kind of bad luck in my eyes. It is different if it's like, he's got a hamstring or he's got a little discomfort, he's not pushing through it, versus like, see, it's hurt or injured, right?
Yeah, and he was like soft is relative. Injured. Soft is relative. I understand your point, but I will say what should be said on multiple occasions in life. No one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares. No one cares what you're dealing with, right? Sam, you got problems? No one cares, unfortunately. And I hate to say that. No one cares what I'm dealing with. Just like no one cares what Traylon Burks is dealing with. You know why? Because Traylon Burks is cashing the first round checks, and his expectations are to be that first round wide receiver they drafted him to be. Whether you got a concussion, a soft tissue injury, a throat lozenges problem. It doesn't really matter. So that the softness, I think, is kind of more all encompassing of you not being on the field.
Well, yeah, and Brandon says he's a wrestling coach. He can tell you certain people can't take impact. And I'm sure there are, like, factors about, like, who's more inclined to take blows. My only problem with the word soft is I think it has a connotation, a negative connotation about your mentality and grit. And I do not believe it is a mental grit problem if a guy gets concussed. He can be injury prone. He cannot be, somebody who's durable and all of those things. But I do think we have to be careful when we say soft, because it sounds like Traylon just doesn't want it enough. But
yeah, but and look, there's a fine line between tough and stupid, right? I would say this, and this is hard because you see players like Ben Jones that you're going to have to drag his ass out of the game, regardless on if he feels woozy, if he's seeing Tweety Bird, like he's duct taped both of his legs, but he's still playing. Right. So I think different position and fine line between, tough and stupid, but that's where softness comes in. I think of other guys do it. So we want, especially when you don't have something to fall back on. And let's just be honest, Traylon Burks has nothing to fall back on. He doesn't have touchdown catches. He doesn't have yards. He doesn't have great, like, blocking skills to bust open. Like, he doesn't have, like, at least, and I'm going to bring up a guy I hate to bring up, at least Corey Davis.
Hey, NFL free agent Corey Davis, future Titan again, part two.
I have an answer for that. And you weren't on the show earlier this week. And Sam, I'm glad you, well, I kind of brought it up. Unfortunately, I brought it up. I didn't want to bring it up, but I do have an answer for your question. And it's already locked and ready to go. And it's simple. No. So there it is. Whenever you think about that, it's no. But Corey, the last couple of years, he was a Titan. Well, he was a great blocker. I mean, the guy could really block down the field. There's a fifth overall pick in the NFL draft. He's a good blocker. I mean, he'd really get after him while Derrick Henry was running by folks for 2,000 yards, right? How much was that Corey Davis or Derrick Henry? But I will say that's the problem with Burks at this point in his career. He has no jump shot that he can fall back on.
Yeah,
I mean, we don't even know what the hell his jump shot is. I don't even know if he can make layups.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely true. And that's why I struggle with this question. So here's my answer. 600, 800 yards, buy or sell it. Is it possible? I'll buy that possibility because it's mainly a buy into Brian Callahan's offense more than it is into Traylon Burks. And I know Noah had that super chat bringing up, hey, there's no 1,000-yard wide receivers, only five teams in history. That's absolutely true. Traylon Burks is not going to have 1,000 yards in this offense. But if you do look at those Cincinnati Bengals, 2022, you had Chase over 1,000, Higgins over 1,000, and you had Tyler Boyd at 762. 2021, you had Chase well over 1,000, exact number, 1,455. Higgins, almost 1,100. Tyler Boyd, over 800 yards. So I do think there is a world.
Real quick. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins are not the older DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley, right? Let's be fair.
Sure.
Now, that's a whole nother conversation. Maybe we table. Which wide receiver duo are you taking? I mean, I have my pick every single day of the week. But, like, that also is a difference. Like, those numbers are those numbers because of those players, right? But it's Brian Callahan's offense, that, right? I mean, there's fairness to that.
Yeah, and I have to go back to what you said as well of the range here, because 600, sign me up. 800, no shot. Like, I think there's a really big difference in 200 yards there. Like, you just look at wide receiver production and you see guys like Chris Moore rolling out there in Baltimore the year before he came to the Titans. Had like almost 600 receiving yards or whatever. I think that was with Baltimore, maybe Houston. I don't know. He had a lot of receiving yards though. Like 600 yards can happen just from being on the field and getting enough targets in a pass first offense. 800, I think, is a bigger jump. So I think Traylon, 600, yes. 800, no. I guess I buy it, but I think the minute that there's a draft pick that's added to this equation, if it's somebody in the first couple rounds of the draft, my stock tanks significantly.
Guys, I mean, do you, you may know, how many receptions did Treylon Burks have all of last year?
I can check real quick.
No, don't check.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let me guess. 13.
You're off by 3, 16.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it was guys, not a lot.
6, he had 30 targets. He caught half of them.
He did have 400 yards as a rookie, though, not fully healthy. So I think there is a little bit of a, like a, it's the flash that you brought up.
Who else were they throwing to as a rookie?
True. You know, Cody Hollister. No, I'm asking. Cody Hollister, big player.
Nobody.
Jeff Swaim in the red zone.
Right. So, like, let's understand that. I'm selling this. I don't think he gets to 600 yards. I don't think he gets to 700 yards. I don't think he gets to 800 yards. I do think where he could, and this will kind of lead us a little bit into the next question, because I do think it's a valuable follow-up question. And Darren brings this up. Burks' lack of touchdowns is clearly unacceptable at any level. So I'm going to lead less into yards and more into what Darren said. How many touchdowns he has on his career, do you know?
One. Well, two. He caught one against the Eagles that he got concussed on, and he recovered Derrick Henry's fumble in the end zone.
The second one doesn't count. He's got one. So one. That's where Treylon Burks has disappointed for me. Like, the 16 receptions is atrocious. But, like, one touchdown in 2 years means you're not helping your passing offense, right?
Especially with that size, right? And, like, a guy who's supposed to have really good play strength, that's a prototypical, hey, at least he's good in the red zone type of target, and it just hasn't been there at all.
Right? And so, I think that I'll lean more into Pollard and Spears and Chig more than I'll lean into Burks. But maybe Brian Callahan proves me wrong, and you hope that he does. So, like, how can I get there? Well, let's say he has 50-plus yard receptions, right? Big, long plays.
Sure.
Just Will Levis throws it up and he catches it, right? So now you're at 250. You're closer to 600. I can't get the rest there. Like, yeah. I don't know where the other 350 are coming from. So can you be a red zone? Oh, damn, we forgot about Burks because we were concentrating on all the other red zone threats in D-Hop back shoulder or Ridley or whatever. But Ridley's a deep threat, right? So, can he get 5 50-yard receptions? I'm trying to do the math, and I can't get there. So my answer is I'm selling.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable because, I mean, you just look at how much Will Levis stared down DeAndre Hopkins at times last year. The amount of targets that went D-Hop's way and games that you just kind of went, wow, Treylon has 2 targets today. And you were kind of like, what's going on here that he has 2 targets? Now you're adding another established 1,000-plus yard wide receiver in Calvin Ridley to this offense for Will Levis to stare down. You're giving him 2 running backs that he can check down to consistently. Like, he didn't have that option, Derrick Henry, to be like, oh, I'm going to take my check down to a guy running a route. Yeah, and the more I talk it out, you do see a world where it's like, where are the targets coming from? And unless he's a Rashid Shaheed, Khalil Shakir, Gabe Davis type of wide receiver that just flashes a 70-yard catch like every other game and has that 8 different times throughout the game, it's hard to see a world where with as few targets as he'll probably get that he ends up having crazy production. And I've said this before, regardless of if they take a wide receiver in the draft or not, I think Treylon's role in 2024 is to hopefully be that go route, go catch a deep ball guy. And you might see a couple of them throughout the year where you just take the top off a defense, make them think about it, and then give Hop and Ridley some room to, you know, maneuver some mid-level routes a little bit more.
You know, Noah brings this up. Noah says, serious question, what can Treylon do in the slot that Chig can't? Same 40 time and size. Is Treylon Burks just a tight end? Like,
maybe. He's a fast tight end. If he's a tight end, he's a really fast one. No, he's not going to play tight end. But I do think there is something to that. Like, Treylon is not your stereotypical slot wide receiver. But, you know, if you can figure out how to use him, and maybe Brian Callahan can, then you've got a big target in that area of the field.
I'll use this analogy because I think this is what's going to happen and has happened to Treylon Burks. It's like taking your high school sweetheart into college, and she doesn't go to the same school. There's too many options. You're looking around. Ah, Calvin. Ah, whoa, DeAndre. Hello, Chig. Hello, Tony. Hey, Tony. Tony, here's the ball. Here's the ball. Okay, I forgot about you. You're forgetting about Sarah back at home, who's a junior, and who didn't do that much for you. So I think he's going to be forgotten because of all of the other tools. If injury happens to somebody else, maybe then Treylon's role changes. But going into the season, there's too many other options, and I just don't see it happen. So I think we've got to then talk about this question, which follows up. Look, I'm selling. Treylon Burks is going to play this season, we think, at some point. You know, you hope for an extended amount of time. So the question for all of the sellers like myself and everybody else, what would Treylon Burks have to do to qualify as a breakout season? We're talking about Nate Washington and what he said, and you see the line right here. If he's not healthy, nothing else matters. But I truly feel like this is his breakout season, hoping for 600 to 800 yards. That gets to our question that we're asking, which is just that. What would qualify Treylon Burks? What would he have to do for a breakout season in 2024?
Yep. And so you clearly don't believe that Treylon Burks is going to be a factor. I know who is going to be a factor, and that is Factor. Our friends at Factor. I love Factor. Factor blew my mind when we first got their delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They literally make eating better every day and easier every day. Wherever tomorrow takes you, be ready with pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. You'll have over 50 different options a week to choose from, including keto, calorie smart, vegan and veggie, and more. And there's even more to enjoy with over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. So you can go and get two-minute meals. They literally cook in two-minute meals. You can head to factormeals.com/ATOZ50. That's factormeals.com/ATOZ50 and use code ATOZ50 to get 50% off. Code ATOZ50 at factormeals.com/ATOZ50. And that's 50% off. 50% off meals is significant. That's a big deal nowadays. And Factor's hooking it up. So seriously, tastes great. 2 minutes, easy to do. Head to Factor, ATOZ50.
A to Z Sports powered by BetMGM. Today, get locked in. If you have not signed up for BetMGM, today is your day. You got before 11 a.m. Central Time. Use the bonus code ATOZ Sports, ATOZSPORTS, all one word. That's your bonus code. They're the king of the sports book. You can sign up today. You get a bonus bet up to $1,500. So now this is the time for new users. Use that bonus code on BetMGM. All right, Sam, I'm going to let you go to the chat. We actually had a tweet come in that I'm going to read off because I think it's my exact answer. It came in and I saw it, I got notified and I was like, whoa, that is it. And it gives all three. It gives receptions, it gives yards, and it gives touchdowns. I think this would be considered a breakout season for Treylon Burks if we were to categorize it as a breakout season. What does the chat have to say?
All right, chat, we've got 800 plus from Noah, 900 with 8 touchdowns, says Hello Ladies, 700 yards from Jacoby, 505, says Ira Hoshi, 500 from Billy Jones, Darren wants 1,000 and 6 touchdowns, Josh wants 800 with 5 touchdowns, Memory Mix just says 700, Hill going a little lower, says 450 with 5 touchdowns is a breakout season, Chris says at least 1,000 yards. Scott says, to me, 800 yards, 8 touchdowns. Jake says, 8 touchdowns, 800 yards. Nick Ewing says, 800 yards and 4 touchdowns. Derek says, 700 and 5 touchdowns. We have 550 and 7. We got 705. We got 4,504. Play 10 games and have 500 yards. A wide, wide variety, Zach, as you see why this is a good question here. We've got people all the way down in the 400 range, and we've got 1,000 plus. I would say I need 800 yards and 5 touchdowns from Treylon Burks, and that to me is a breakout season. If he, even if he's a little over the 750 mark, right? You're in that 800-yard range. You score 5 touchdowns. You are now a person, I hate using this, but you are now somebody that fantasy football players want to pick up. You are a relevant, impactful, week-to-week consistent wide receiver with 800 yards, 5 touchdowns. That to me is a breakout season. And part of the reason I wanted to ask this is because, again, Nate Washington said 600 to 800, thinking it would be his breakout season. I said I think there's a big difference between the two, and I think that's why. To me, 600 yards, I don't think I can consider that a breakout season for anybody. 800, I absolutely can.
Sam, he had 16 catches last year. Like, let's lower our expectations of the offense, the players playing within the offense, the team as a whole, and more like the player.
He's a first-round pick. I cannot, in my right mind, go into year three with a wide receiver who is drafted in the first round and say if he has 600 yards in year three, that's a breakout season. I think you have to elevate it a bit more.
But it's like Corey Davis. Like, he wasn't a top five pick. Like, Treylon Burks was the sixth wide receiver taken in that round.
Sure.
Right? It was the last wide receiver, and then nobody was taken after that. There was a drop-off. So there is nuance to the draft. Let's just be honest. Treylon Burks probably should have been second, third, now that we know more.
You want a little behind the scenes? I talked to people at the combine, coaches, NFL coaches, who told me they had Treylon Burks with a mid-second round grade and were shocked when the Titans made that pick.
They were desperate.
Yeah.
Desperado. That's why their GM is
not here.
Not here.
And the head coach is not here.
Right. I'm going actually with Jimmy Morris on Twitter, because he tweeted out 5,605. If this dude catches 50 balls,
sure. After 16,
then Will Levis, though, that Flex City, that tat, he may have a tat on the other side of his bicep. He may have two tats. 5,600, because that's the expectation. I'm not going any higher than that. And then 5 touchdowns, that's 5 times the output of the last 2 years. You know,
now, I do think the touchdowns is a big factor here, though, because like 600 yards and 1 touchdown doesn't do much for me. You add the 5 touchdowns in there, and then you start to be like, okay. Yeah, he can play a little bit. It is a breakout. It's a big step in the right direction. I still think I need more than 600 yards, but that's me personally.
Yeah, but it's a breakout for a guy who we just talked about really probably is not a first-round wide receiver. He was the last wide receiver taken, probably closer to a second-rounder. He's been injury-riddled over the last 2 years. They question his toughness, his ability. He had drops too, right? Some mental stuff. Not a lot, but you know, 11 games and 11 games ain't going to get you paid, son.
Yeah, I mean, so Nick says you asked for breakout, not the expectation. And then Darren says NFL standard for breakouts, 1,000, nothing less, which I don't necessarily agree with. But he says Burks doesn't get special treatment. Zach, I do want to kind of throw that out there, because I think that's the big distinguishing factor for me is 600 yards from Treylon Burks.
Is a breakout for Treylon Burks of where he is in his career. That's not an expectation. I don't expect that. Are you kidding me? That's wrong. Sorry.
Yeah, there's a huge difference. To clarify for you, you use the word expectation, but you were referring to given what the expectation is for him, that would be a breakout. I think 600 yards doesn't move a needle in the NFL world. 800 does a bit more. Where you have 800 yards, I think you're a regular factor enough where nationally people are like, oh, Treylon Burks is a weapon for the Titans.
He's 600. The third wide receiver, Sam.
Sure.
The expectation is about where he is. He's no longer 2 years ago when he caught 400 yards receiving or whatever it was. He was wide receiver number one.
Yeah.
And in less than two years, he is wide receiver number three. And you're saying, and look, I don't want to get into this. I don't do a lot of shows with you, Sam. If you are trying to convince these people, these poor people in the chat, that the Titans should take a wide receiver with their first round pick, you need to apologize.
Nope.
Because that would be dumb.
No.
Stupid.
Oh, we might have to do the show next week then. We might have to make the show happen.
That's dumb, Sam. That's stupid.
I can't wait.
We talk about the fine line between tough and stupid. You're Ben Jones and these people. Get out of the game. You don't feel well.
What are you going to do at receiver next year, Zach? What are you going to do at receiver next year?
You're going to go find another one. What are you going to do when Will Levis is on his back? Who's protecting Will Levis?
I think you can get a tackle at 38. And
Okay. For how long? For 10 years?
I'm not sure you're going to – like, I don't think the difference between Joe Alt and those other guys is, like, all that drastic. I think Trust Bill Callahan, loaded with the offensive line.
You need a throat lozenge. You may be sick. You may have gotten what Jack got. So you may – hey, cool down. We will do another show. We'll set it up. One day we'll give Austin the day off on a Monday or a Tuesday. You can join the domain, and we'll talk draft. And we'll sit here, and you can tell me why they should spend another first-round draft pick on a wide receiver when they have nobody to protect Will Levis's ankles.
Hey, we'll talk about it. I got a lot of thoughts.
Offensive line coach, trust the process. Jacoby, was that what you were saying when Mike Munchak was head coach? Huh? Was that what you were saying? Trust the process? Were you trying to not fire his ass? Come on. Daddy can't save you from everything, right? Like, Daddy can be a good job, and he can do – and look, he's got mad respect. Now, he did get his ass whooped in the Super Bowl by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2002, which I thoroughly enjoyed. But he can't – you cannot fix broken. And the Titans offensive line is getting better, but the most important position on the line is filled by –
What are you talking about?
Dead air.
Oh, you mean left tackle?
Yeah, I mean
left tackle. It's going to be addressed. He's not coaching the broken offensive line of last year. He's not coaching Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. He's not coaching a Jalen Duncan. He's coaching guys that they are acquiring that he is scouting himself. A guy like Sadiq Charles, who is under the radar, who he might see something in that.
You don't need under the radar. All right, so let's stop. Let's pause. I'll take a break. You can take a break. I want the last word, but I'm just going to shut up. Usually I would say something because I've got something to
come back at you. Well, this will be a good show. I'm excited for the show.
Yeah. Wide receiver one or offensive tackle. Look, it's March 21st. The draft is not for another month. So we can plan this out. We'll get the chat involved. We'll get the community. We'll talk about it. We'll see what they have to say, but you know, don't feed our community with bad takes.
Well, here's the tease I'll give people because I already see chats coming and saying, Sadiq Charles sucks, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. If you believe the only way to get a good left tackle in the National Football League is to draft one in the top 10 of the NFL draft, I believe you are sorely mistaken. And I have evidence to prove it. Both quotes from the best general managers and head coaches in the game who have quoted stuff to me talking about it, as well as evidence of other NFL teams that have capable, competent left tackles that they did not draft in the first day or the second day of the NFL draft. If you have the right scouting, if you know how to scout.
Do you have percentages on that? And do you also – percentages, because you need to take percentages – of what, third, fourth, fifth round, seventh round left tackles in the league.
And do you have a pocketbook if you're going to actually pay for free agents? I don't even know if that's what you're talking about, but we'll pause. Let's save it for another day.
All right, let's do it.
Agree to disagree for now, and then we'll battle it out here later. So let's close the Treylon Burks. I think we want Treylon Burks to succeed because he's got 2 years left to go on his deal. It's just, will he get the targets slash opportunities to even be able to get close to the things that we're talking about? And I think the positive is new offense, new quarterback that throws the football. So we'll find that out.
Yep, we will. Let's go ahead and move it on here because we have some bracket stuff to discuss here, Zach. Why don't you go ahead and let people know about Farm Bureau Health Plans while everybody in the chat, pull out your brackets. Get your brackets out. We got some bracket talk to discuss here before we close the show.
Absolutely. Farm Bureau Health Plans is where you need to go to get your next health plan. I got my health plan a couple of years ago. I rolled that over 200 plus locations across the state of Tennessee. Health, dental, and vision. Farm Bureau Health Plans of Tennessee can help you, just like it has helped me, secure your health plan so that when you need a throat lozenge, you'll have that at your disposal. But if you need something a little bit, you know, better and prescription, you can do teledoc conferences. You can go to doctors and they can help you out with your health plan. 75 plus years, they're all over Middle Tennessee. They're all over West and East Tennessee. If you're in the state of Tennessee, think about Farm Bureau Health Plans of Tennessee. That's FBHP.com/A to Z.
Today's show is powered by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. We're getting ready to talk bracket predictions. If you have a big bracket prediction you feel convicted about, go ahead to BetMGM. Sign up, use the bonus code ATOZ Sports. Even if your first bet misses, you can get up to $1,500 back in the form of a bonus bet with a second chance to win big. That's the best way to do sports betting, especially in March, is when your first bet is risk-free and you can get a second shot at it. So BetMGM.com, that's the king of sportsbooks. That's where to head this tournament season. All right, Zach, we are going to ask two different tournament-related questions today because today is, as we mentioned off the top of the show, kind of a holiday for sports fans, the first day of the NCAA tournament. And I already see some people in the chat going, so pull out your brackets. First question we got to ask, what will be the biggest upset in the first round of the NCAA tournament this year? This is your opportunity to prove everybody how smart you are, how good your predictions are, because now you'll have it on record of your comment. Who's going to be the biggest upset in the first round? And then we'll see what happens over the next couple of days. Zach, do you have a team that jumped out to you when you were filling out your bracket as your big upset?
So I had two, and these are big upsets, right? Like, I'm not just talking, I don't know, I feel like you get a nine versus, you know, like, are bigger upsets, right? So I'm looking at two things. I'm looking, because I don't trust them, I'm actually looking at Alabama to possibly get upset.
In the 4-13 to Charleston, right?
Yes, to Charleston. Now, I don't know much about Charleston. I don't claim to know much about Charleston. But I do think Alabama's untrustworthy because they score all these points, and then they lay eggs. I saw them lay an egg against Arkansas, and they came back barely. They lost in the SEC tournament. They've gotten blown out and beaten to a pulp by Florida. They've gotten beaten like this year. I just don't necessarily trust Alabama, and I think that's probably more far off. But my other upset, which makes more sense, and it's over an SEC team, Oregon over South Carolina.
Yeah, I don't hate either of those. I didn't pick either of those, but I certainly contemplated picking both of those. I think the SEC in general concerns me. I have one SEC team making a run. That team is Mississippi State. But I do believe.
Man, Sam, you're really going the wrong way for this show. Your bracket's going to get busted because of those redneck, no good pieces of, you know, cow patty what's of Mississippi State. Man. Boo.
Chris Jans, he's get the job done. The SEC concerns me because the SEC was really volatile all year, and we saw it in the SEC tournament, even with a team like Tennessee, who is one of the best teams in the country all year, and then they get 20 bombed by Mississippi State in the SEC tournament. I do think the entire conference is prone to lay an egg, like you said, and in the tournament, all it takes is one. One of these teams could potentially go on a very deep run, but I think you could see some top SEC teams getting upset early. Let's go to the chat here because Trevor has UAB winning their game against San Diego State.
That's my BetMGM. So you spin the wheel at BetMGM, you get picked a lower seed, and if they make it to Sweet 16, you get your share of $100,000 in cash prizes.
Oh, I got to do that.
You spin it. Austin got Vermont. I got UAB. I like that I got UAB.
But yeah, go play. Bad. Better than a 16 or a 15 or something like that. Scott has New Mexico winning. I actually do think New Mexico wins their game. That's not as big of an upset as I'm going to go. Darius has James Madison. Eric says UAB. See an NC State. Another New Mexico. I see Nick says Samford to beat Kansas. New Mexico over Clemson. Samford over Kansas. Charleston and Grand Canyon both winning, says Scott. Lucas believes Gonzaga loses. They're playing McNeese State, which I know is a popular pick. Samford, let's see, we got Oregon is apparently a favorite, giving 1.5 in that game. So makes sense. That's a pretty good pick for you as an 11 seed. JMU over Wisconsin, and then a go Peacocks go from Lou Man, who would like St. Peter's to take down Tennessee. Here are my two that stood out to me. I've got James Madison beating Wisconsin. I like this JMU team. Most wins in the country, 31 wins. They play at an electric fast pace, which I like out of first round upset teams. I think you have to have something that you do really well. James Madison shoots the three really, really well, and they play at a really quick pace. Second team that does something similar. And by the way, these teams are kind of on the same side of the bracket, actually. But I'm going to take Samford over Kansas. Kevin McCullough is out for the Jayhawks. Hunter Dickinson is playing at less than 100%. You talk about another team that can fill it up and can score. And when they're shooting well, it's curtains for their opponent is Samford. So Samford, JMU, those are going to be my two picks that I'm riding with. Both will probably lose by 20 points, and like Illinois will lose because that's just kind of how things have been going for me. Hopefully the big upset is not Morehead State over my Illini. Let's transition to part two here, because I will ask everybody in the chat again, who is in your final four? Drop those final fours. And while you guys do that, I'm going to tell everybody about Wilson County Hyundai. Wilson County Hyundai, you can make them a part of your new car buying process in Lebanon or at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. They're the place to go for your new ride. You can get 0% APR for 48 months on 2023 Sonatas, Santa Fes, or Tucson's. Payne Bone and his team at Wilson County Hyundai are happy to guide you through the financing process, assisting with buying and trading in your vehicle. And you can forget those downtown Nashville prices because they're out in Lebanon. So you can see your friends at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. This is the big one of tournament season. Who is your final four? If you get the final four correct, you're going to win just about every bracket pool. First round doesn't matter. The upsets that you call don't matter. If you get the final four right, you're going to be good.
I'll go to the chat real quick, and then I'll get yours. Big Ten Jeff says UConn, Houston, Purdue, and Arizona. Let's see here. Gonzaga, Kentucky, UConn, and St. Mary's. But Eric admits he doesn't know college basketball. In one of my brackets, I have St. Mary's in the final four.
So I love St. Mary's, and I picked them to lose in the first round because I also love Grand Canyon. And I hated that they were playing each other. It was two teams I was ready to put like in the Sweet 16 coming into the bracket, and they got a first round matchup, and that destroyed me. So
that's my feeling of FAU. FAU and Iowa State, I loved those teams, and they get the UConn bracket.
Sure.
Now I'm like, I do have a future on Iowa State to make the Final Four, because I think that could happen if UConn slips up.
They do have to get through those Illini.
Yeah, and Illinois, that's the tough bracket.
Yeah, it is the hardest one for sure.
And they got Auburn. I have a future plus 1,700 on Auburn if they beat UConn. I think they could
possibly go to the finals.
Well, here's a crazy one for you. I don't know if you knew this, Zach, but I just got educated with this recently. BYU is a six seed in that bracket. And BYU is ranked by the committee as a number four seed. They're the 15th overall ranked team by the committee, and they're in top 10 in KenPom. Why are they a six seed if the committee had them as the number 15 best team? Because they are not allowed to play on Sunday. Fact, they were forced to be in a seed. There is half the seeds in the NCAA tournament Brigham Young University can never be, because those seeds always play the Friday, Sunday window. So they could not be a five. They could not be a four. Their options were three or six. So they got booted to a six seed, and they got that East region because it was the only region that going to the Sweet 16 would not feed them into a regional that plays on Sunday. The NCAA has all these special rules for BYU for being a private Mormon school, and it is coming back to bite UConn, Illinois, Iowa State, and Auburn bad because they have five top four seeds in their bracket.
Well, and it's biting BYU too, right?
Sure. I mean, because now they're a six seed and they have to play a three if they win in the first round. And
I've watched BYU quite a bit. If their shots aren't falling, which that has happened multiple games, they get blown out.
Yeah.
So,
and if their shots are falling, they're going to beat whoever they play. Well, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. I've seen them get blown out multiple times this season, and really good teams don't get blown out all that often. That's why I'm hesitant on Alabama from what I've seen. So here are my final four. Simply put, I think this makes sense. It's not that sexy, except for one of them. UConn, Arizona, which is a two seed, Purdue, and then my wild card, and this is something that I do year in and year out, and it has won me some brackets. I have Duke coming out of the Houston region. Duke as a Final Four team. I think Phil Bukowski can come in. What NC State did to them in the ACC tournament, I think they learn from, and they make a run. They got to get through Marquette and obviously Houston, but Houston's banged up with multiple injuries over the last couple of months. Duke is my non-sexy team. Purdue, UConn in the final with UConn winning.
All right. Let's see who the chat's got here. Jeff says UConn, Houston, Purdue, and Arizona. So a little chalky there from Jeff, but can't hate it. Eric says Gonzaga, Kentucky, UConn, and St. Mary's, as you pointed out. We've got a UConn, Houston, Purdue, and Dayton to the Final Four out of Nick. Hey-o. There's a little bit of an upset out of the Atlantic 10. NC State, Kentucky, North Carolina, and UConn from Hill. Going with NC State there. My four are Illinois Fighting Illini.
Homer
pick. I don't have them winning the national champion. I have them losing in the national championship game. Illinois, Arizona, Houston, and Gonzaga. I like the idea of I don't trust Purdue. I don't trust Tennessee. I don't trust Creighton. Mark Few is a five seed with very little pressure on him. I think he proved last year, like, people in Spokane, in Gonzaga, are saying this is the worst team we've had in years, and they still made a run all the way to like the Elite Eight and lost on a buzzer beater or whatever. They lost right at the last second in a tight game there. So I think Mark Few is going to win a few games. I think this region opens up for them a little bit. So Gonzaga, kind of my wild card there. And then a little bit of optimistic thinking with Illinois. Do I realistically think they come out of the most difficult region in the bracket? Probably not, but I am trying to practice optimism, Zach. This is a team that was down by double digits in all three games they played in the second half of the Big Ten tournament, came back and won all of them. They can score and you can't put them away. And I'm trying to put to bed the pessimist in me and just believing in this team for the next, hopefully, couple of weeks, and maybe it'll pay off. I don't know. We'll see. I'll probably have my heart broken, but I'm trying to remain optimistic.
The biggest pick I don't believe that I've made is Arizona. I think Arizona's phony, but I think
North Carolina's phony, though. I don't think North Carolina's a one seed. Like, it was shocking to me that they got
right,
that.
Right, but the 3 and 4 are Baylor and Alabama, and I don't believe in either of those.
It sucks because I, as an Illinois fan, right, I look at my region. I'm like, you've got four Final Four teams here, and you don't have a single one in the lower region, and yet one of them has to make it. And so Arizona is just kind of the team that I was left with being like, all right, I guess these guys. Last thing I'll say about Illinois, because I'm getting called delusional, they have not lost a game by double digits all year, and two of their losses came without the best player in the country, Terrence Shannon Jr. So I will, and yes, I believe he's the best player in the country. When you go for 36 a game in the Big Ten tournament, you got something going right now. So I think that's a team that doesn't get blown out, that you can't put away, that's going to be really good in March. Hopefully, fingers crossed. I'm going to be very sad if we're talking tomorrow and Illinois has already been bounced from the tournament.
All right, chat, take off work, have a long lunch, enjoy the next 4 days. If you're getting a vasectomy, best of luck to you. The NCAA tournament is upon us. Make sure you use BetMGM and lock in your bets, and hopefully we can have a profitable opening weekend.
Yeah, and head over to the Tanger outlets as well. Don't forget to check out Prince's Hot Chicken, the original Nashville Hot Chicken. It's a good spot to watch games. That's all we got for today. We will have, some sort of a pre-recorded version of the show, Zach. We're out of bodies tomorrow. So you and I are going to have some content out tomorrow morning. It might not be live. We're going to figure it out here throughout the rest of the day, but we will be back tomorrow. I will also have a Titans at 2 coming out tomorrow afternoon. So don't forget to check in with me on that. Buck Rising on A to Z Sports primetime as well. And keep it locked on AtoZSports.com for all of your written Titans content as the NFL free agency continues. NFL draft gets closer. Till then, tighten up. We'll see you later.
Adios.